Imagine stepping into the sort of pod, closing your eyes, and then suddenly you are a robot, maybe hundreds of miles away, and you can actually feel the force as its hand grips something. Today, we're doing a deep dive into H2L's pretty groundbreaking Avatar capsule. It's this cutting-edge system that could really redefine how we interact with robots.
Yeah, it's really quite something. The core thing, the revolutionary part, is how it lets you control a humanoid robot using your whole body. It's not just sending movement commands like move arm. It transmits the nuance, the feeling of physical force, the effort you're putting in. It's way beyond simple remote control. It's more like an extension of yourself physically. And this all comes from H2L, their core body sharing philosophy.
Right. So our mission today is to really pull out the key insights from the sources we've looked at, articles, some research papers, notes, basically, to help you understand what makes this tech genuinely transformative, and of course, what the implications might be, for work, life, how we connect. Okay, so let's start with the basics. What is this avatar capsule? What's it like?
Okay, picture a high-tech lounge chair. Or maybe it looks a bit like a sleek pod from a spaceship, sort of. You just sit down or lie back normally. No gloves, no bulky VR goggles, no joysticks needed.
No gloves or goggles. That's surprising. So how does it capture your movement and crucially this force you mentioned?
That's the clever part. It uses these really sophisticated muscle displacement sensors. They're embedded right into the seat seamlessly. They detect tiny, tiny shifts and tensions in your muscles as you intend to move or exert force. And it converts that muscle data into precise commands for the robot. But the key is it captures not just what you're doing, but how hard you're doing it in real time.
Okay, so that's the force awareness piece.
Exactly, force awareness. Plus, you get the audio-visual feedback streamed right from the robot's viewpoint, what it sees and hears. It completes that immersive loop.
That difference between just tracking motion and capturing force feels, well, huge. How does using muscle sensing fundamentally change things compared to, say, the usual methods like IMUs or those big exoskeleton suits? Is this where visceral interaction comes in?
Absolutely, yes. That's a great way to put it. Conventional systems, they mostly use motion sensors to just mimic, the position of your limbs, but they totally miss the effort. How hard are you pushing? How much force are you applying? H2L argues, and I think convincingly, that just motion data isn't enough for real physical realism. It lacks that nuance. It doesn't replicate the force you exert or the resistance you might feel. So yeah, this isn't just simple mimicry. It's about getting closer to a deep sort of visceral interaction. It taps into your proprioceptive senses, your body's own feeling of where it is and how it's moving, and transmits that.
And H2L has been working on this kind of idea for a while, haven't they? This isn't totally out of the blue.
Not at all, no. If you look at their history, this fits perfectly into their body-sharing philosophy. That term was coined by the co-founder, Dr. Emi Tamaki. They had earlier innovations like possessed hand, which was actually one of Time's 50 best inventions back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and also unlimited hand. These show a clear, consistent path. They've been evolving this idea of transmitting muscle control and these bodily sensations for years. It's a long-term vision.
Okay, so let's talk applications. If this works as described, the potential sounds, well, kind of world-changing. What are some concrete
Oh,
examples?
it's immense. Think about healthcare. Doctors potentially performing really complex surgeries from miles away. Or maybe robot caregivers helping elderly people with daily tasks, getting out of bed, taking medication guided precisely by a human operator somewhere else.
That could be huge for aging populations.
Definitely. And then there are hazardous environments. Technicians repairing power lines, but from the safety of their home office. Or controlling robots in disaster zones, doing search and rescue or cleanup, keeping humans out of harm's way. The sources even touch on more sort of everyday things,
Like what?
like doing chores remotely, washing dishes, vacuuming via a robot avatar, or even a parent who's stuck at work, being able to genuinely play with their child at home through a friendly robot. It really starts to blur the lines of physical presence.
Okay, that's the vision. Let's ground ourselves a bit. The market reality. You mentioned the cost is currently around $208,000.
Yeah, roughly 208,000 US. So clearly it's not something you'll pick up at Best Buy next week. It's positioned right now as a high-end solution. Think research institutions, specialized industrial uses where that cost is justifiable.
But is there a market growing for this kind of tech?
Oh, absolutely. While this specific device is pricey, the overall market for telepresence robots is booming. Projections show it reaching over $1.4 billion by 2031, with a really strong growth rate, over 20% CAGR. So there's definitely a growing demand for these kinds of advanced remote interaction capabilities, especially in those high-value sectors.
Makes sense. But like any cutting-edge tech, there must be challenges. What are the main hurdles, technically speaking?
The biggest one, technically, is the network. It absolutely depends on having a super robust, low-latency, high-bandwidth connection. For that real-time control, that seamless force awareness across distances, you need a rock-solid network. Yeah. Any lag, any disruption, and the whole experience, the precision, it falls apart.
Okay, network dependency. What about other concerns? Ethical ones?
Yeah, those come up too. Mm-hmm. Privacy is a big one. The potential for surveillance, this big brother aspect, if these systems become widespread. There's also the concern about replacing human care, maybe leading to more social isolation, especially in elder care.
Mm-hmm.
Job displacement is another classic tech worry. And given the high cost right now, there are questions about equitable access to the technology. Who gets to benefit?
So looking ahead then, what's next on H2L's roadmap for the Avatar capsule?
They're definitely planning further refinements. Wireless setups are on the agenda, which would make it much more convenient to use. And crucially, they want to add richer tactile feedback. So not just force, but maybe feeling texture, temperature through the robot's sensors.
Wow.
Yeah, trying to really complete that illusion of truly being there physically.
So wrapping this up, what does this all mean for you, the listener? It seems the Avatar capsule is a really significant step, a step towards a future where maybe our human presence, our abilities aren't just tied to where our physical body happens to be.
Exactly. It points towards what H2L envisions as a multi-thread lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
a life where physical limitations become, well, less limiting. It opens up possibilities that honestly felt like pure science fiction not long ago. But of course, as we touched on, it also forces us to think critically about some really complex ethical questions that come hand in hand with such powerful technology.
Definitely food for thought. So maybe the final thing to leave you pondering is this. If our physical presence truly stops being a constraint, how might that fundamentally reshape the way we work, the way we live, and maybe even how we connect with each other?